But now we'll have a games on Thanksgiving, so anyone who wants to can spend the whole day watching games. And I sometimes think that we have to squeeze dinner in during the halftime, which is a pretty fast dinner at our house. So we'll be back after the news and spots.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump wants to see the age limit raised to 21 for all tobacco products, including vaping juice and devices. During a forum at the White House, the president says he believes prohibition often leads to creation of less safe products from the black market.
If you don't give it to them, it's going to come here illegally.
Yes,
okay,
right.
They're going to make it.
Believe that,
but instead of Reynolds or Juul or, you know, legitimate companies, good companies making something that's safe, they're going to be selling stuff on a street corner that could be horrible.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is filing to put his name on the ballot for the South Carolina primary. Now, while he was in South Carolina, he was asked about a pending paternity suit regarding his son, Hunter.
No, that's a private matter. I have no comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're a
good man. Thank you, guys. This is all
Classic.
The time we have.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Tis the season to eat and be merry. If holiday enjoyment leaves you feeling painfully bloated, don't worry. Relief is here. Introducing Atrantil. Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why Atrantil works where other remedies don't. In clinical studies, 88% of bloating sufferers found Atrantil relieved their symptoms, and it's available over-the-counter without a prescription.
A friend recommended Atrantil, and I had great results. I was so bloated and full, it was miserable. But the product started to work almost immediately.
Atrantil is not another probiotic or digestive enzyme. It's made from a patented combination of powerful polyphenols. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil turned my holiday bloating right around.
Eat and be merry this season with Atrantil. Find Atrantil at Amazon.com, your local retailer, or for a special holiday offer, go to bloat411.com. That's bloat411.com.
Atrantil!
New details are coming out about the boy who went on a murder rampage at a California high school. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's John Hunt.
The 16-year-old boy who fatally shot two fellow students and wounded three others last week at a Southern California high school used an unregistered, untraceable ghost gun, according to Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Nathaniel Barthos' 45 caliber 1911 model replica semi-automatic pistol was assembled from gun parts and did not have a serial number. These weapons are becoming a problem for law enforcement around the country because the parts are too easy to obtain and the guns take limited experience to build. In Southern California, federal authorities say one-third of all firearms used are ghost guns.
A Chinese national is facing federal charges for allegedly stealing information from Monsanto. Federal agents arrested the former employee as he was boarding a plane heading to China. He's accused of stealing farming software. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Are you one of the record-breaking 26.8 million passengers and crews expected to travel through the skies this year and spend time with family or friends for Thanksgiving? Delta CEO Ed Bastian has some tips if you are planning to fly over the holidays.
Well, our demand's going to be great. We're looking at the books for the next week, for the Thanksgiving week, we're looking at about 5 million customers traveling.
Wow, Delta. Wow. Yeah. Just on your airline.
Just on our airline, largest that we've seen in our history.
How can it go more smoothly for people?
Well, our people are ready and we're prepared, and we got to have one of the tips that I always tell people, a couple things. One is make sure you're signed up to go through the CLEAR process, TSA
yes,
CLEAR.
Yeah.
I love CLEAR. It is a game changer. Going through security, it'll get you through security in minutes compared to any other form. The other thing is the Fly Delta app. Yes. The Fly Delta app is like having your own concierge in your pocket, and we've added technology such that even if you get stuck in an airport, if you on the app, there's a live chat feature.
That's the best way to get in touch with the airline?
That's the best way to get in touch real time is using the Fly Delta app.
A new Emerson poll finds President Trump's approval has increased to 48% and a 47% disapproval rate. That's up 5 percentage points from last year. Support for impeachment has flipped from October, where in October 48% supported it and 44% opposed it. Now 45% oppose it and 43% support it. And the biggest swing regarding impeachment was among independents, who oppose impeachment, now 49% to 34%. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Well, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock, a few minutes after 5 o'clock, and it's time for the sports guys. And right now we have one sports guy, and that's me, Pat Smits, and I'm expecting John Manfreda any minute. And John, if you're out there listening, it better be in 1 or 2 minutes. Unfortunately, the third sports guy, Bill Wolfson, is not able to join us today. So, what's happening? Well, football is in full swing, and of course we have games this Sunday. And however, the big football day of the year, and I remember this even as a kid, Thanksgiving was football. Now, granted, we probably listened to it on the radio. In fact, we did listen to it on the radio until we finally got a television. But that was the day to listen to football and or watch football. And as I recall, back then, the Packers usually played the Lions and lost. So this year, the Packers are not playing on Thursday. However, all you Giant fans are going to be watching Packer Giants on Sunday. And in fact, so am I. Unfortunately, I may actually have an extra ticket. So if anyone out there is trying to find one ticket, just give me a call at my office. This is Pat Smits, S-M-I-T-S, and call the chamber. And if I still have the ticket, I will let you know. Unfortunately, all my Giant fans are either too chicken to go to the game with me, too embarrassed or possibly to be embarrassed to go to the game, or just have other things to do because they're not true diehard football fans that would do anything to see a football game. And unfortunately, my husband is not going to be able to go along. Dave is not going to be able to go because he's still having some problems walking, and certainly walking as far as you have to walk when you go to a football game. I have to say, unfortunately, I do not have parking for these tickets, but I'm looking forward to the game, and of course, not sure yet what the weather will be. And of course, the one thing that I dread is trying to go to Giant Stadium and park. And, of course, for those of you who try to say Giant Stadium is in New York, it's not. And I'm hoping that there will be a lot of fellow Packer fans who decide to spend part of the Thanksgiving holiday in New Jersey for the game. And, in fact, you know, that is probably difficult for some people, even people with season tickets who want to travel. And, of course, if they're going to travel this year with the Giants' record, I guess they're not thinking they're going to miss much. But what else is happening? Well, of course, the Eagles will be playing on December 1st. Cowboys are playing on Thanksgiving. That's one of the Thanksgiving games. And we will be able to watch football all day long on Thanksgiving. So I know in my household we will be doing that, other than perhaps me, because I'll have to be cooking. So what else is happening in sports? Well, we'll have to talk to John when he gets here, because he can talk more about what has been. And unfortunately, he was closer than I was with respect to the Patriot-Eagles score last week. So I guess we'll be able to hear what he has to say about that. And darn it all, the Patriots pulled out another one. And that, you know, really is not something we want to see, or most of us don't want to see unless you're a Patriot fan. Not a whole lot happening with the Myles Garrett suspension. At least I haven't heard a lot. We know he's going to be suspended without pay indefinitely. And certainly, but for sure, this season and any postseason games, of course, I guess we're not going to be expecting the Browns to play in any postseason games. And not sure, have not followed up on what happened to Mason Rudolph, and if in fact what the league did with respect to the investigation of what he was obviously saying, because he did say something to Myles Garrett, which, you know, I'm not saying that justified what happened, but he certainly, it looked like he started it with whatever he was saying. And, of course, Myles Garrett reacted and should not have reacted. So that's what's happening. And we have John Manfreda, who's walking in any minute. I hear him still on the phone. So I guess we'll be talking. And one of the things that I was otherwise going to talk about, and of course we have to remember, and let me tell you this story, because some of you have heard it before, but others have not. And that's the story, and I'm thinking about it today, because as we know, November 22nd, President Kennedy was assassinated 56 years ago. And that, you know, but my story has to do with Lombardi. And back when, I'm trying to think if it was in 60, 61, or 62. And what happened is when the troops were called up for the Berlin Wall, there were troops in Washington, regular troops that went to Germany, and Wisconsin National Guard, they were called up, and they all had to go to various places. Some went to Washington State, some went to other places. Well, the important thing is that at least three Packer players were among the soldiers who were called up, including Paul Hornung. And what happened is the commander on the base was not going to let Paul Hornung come back for a game. And I think it could have been the championship game. I have to remember. But in any event, Lombardi, who was acquaintance or friend of Kennedy actually contacted President Kennedy and told him of the dilemma and the problem if the Packers would have to play the game without Paul Hornung. I think he was the only one who was not going to be allowed to come back. And so in any event, John Kennedy intervened and told the base commander that it was much more important for Paul Hornung to be able to play the football game with the Packers rather than spending a day sitting on the base. And that's a true story about Lombardi and Kennedy. I mean, there are obviously so many more stories, involving President Kennedy and people who knew him and knew his various, what he did. But I can tell you the people of Wisconsin had a lot to thank President Kennedy for when he allowed Paul Hornung to come back, to come back to play that game. And we now have our second sports guy, John Renfrieda, has come in, and, which is, he's going to save me.
Well, Pat, I didn't hear the drum roll to announce my introduction, but that's okay. We'll let that go.
Your drum roll was your own self on your phone because we were able to hear it.
Well, you know, what can I tell you? I this is unbelievable. I literally got a call from somebody in the hills of Tennessee who was having a real estate problem. And, you know, as I say to people, Pat, when people ask me, what do you do? I say, I'm a magician. And they say, what do you mean? I say, well, I'm a magician of sorts. They expect me to pull rabbits out of hats. And people expect you to pull rabbits out of hats every day, too.
Well,
but I'm happy to be here to get away from the office, Pat. That's for sure.
Well, if it's from Tennessee and the hills of Tennessee, is he going to pay you in moonshine?
You know what, Pat? That's a good question. I hadn't really thought about that. Maybe it'd be two goats. God only knows.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, and we really don't follow car racing, but you do know that some of the car racing started with the moonshines in places like Kentucky and Tennessee because they wanted to soup up their cars so they could escape the revenue guys who were after them. So that really is anybody who's interested in car racing, we invite you to come on the program because it really is a very popular sport. Unfortunately, I followed car racing as a kid and as a teenager, but it's not a big popular sport out east. And so
wow.
None of us really, follow what's going on. And of course, right now, we wish it would be warm enough to have some races.
That's for sure.
So, John, I guess neither one of us hit the prediction on the head with respect to the Eagles-Patriots last week, but I guess you were closer than I was, since I thought it was going to be 28-24, and you thought the score was going to be 24-17. But it wasn't a high-scoring game.
No, it was, what, 17-10?
I think it was about that.
I think it was 17-10, and I said 24-17, so I was only a touchdown off. I was closer.
Yeah, you were closer than I was. So what else? Of course, as I've said, you're chickening out going to see our teams play against one another, which I guess all the Giant fans are, using Thanksgiving weekend as an excuse because they're too afraid to see what's going to happen when the Packers play the Giants. And I guess, is that the first or second? It's Sunday, obviously, after Thanksgiving.
Yes, that is actually the first Sunday at Thanksgiving. It's Thursday that the game is 4 days later.
So what should be exciting are all the games that are being played on Thanksgiving. I know my Cowboy fans in my family, that's one game we're certainly going to have to watch on Thanksgiving. But there will be at least three games. Are there four or just three?
I believe there's three. Noon, the late afternoon, and then the early evening game, But in any event, It is November 22nd. It is the 32nd birthday of my daughter, Laura, who turned 32 about 10 o'clock this morning, and brings back a lot of fond memories. Was with her this morning and recounting some of those memories with her. And as you know, Pat, it's just always a terrific thing when you can be with a child on their birthday. So I'm blessed to be able to have that. And it is the, what, let's see, 1963 to 56th anniversary of the assassination of Jack Kennedy. And I was with my mother, who picked me up at school at about 3:15, and was crying, and we were listening to the radio, and it was a very, very sad and disturbing moment. And just want to say that, you know, the controversy continues even to this day. Who shot what? There's more evidence coming out. What amazes me now is how much more evidence they have now, because that Garrison commission was totally corrupt. Totally corrupt. I heard some things today that some of the people on that commission, you know, never should have been there. They were totally biased. In fact, one of the people on the commission was somebody that President Kennedy had fired in his cabinet. Now, the commission was I think, impaneled in 68, so 5 years later. But I'm trying to remember who that was. Richardson? I'm not sure. But in any event, nobody was really interested in getting to the truth in that case.
Well, I think the people were, and for anyone, I don't know if you've been there, but I've been to the site, and of course,
I've not been there, but my daughter has.
Yeah, you've heard, and you've heard people who were there. Frankly, it just seems improbable that it could have been a lone assassin where he was in that book depository. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And of course,
not just that, but the weapon he had was an $18 gun with a cheap sight, and to be able to shoot, you know, I guess the word is, you know, reload the chamber, aim, shoot again, and then do it a third time. It is totally incredulous that a lone gunman was operating. And we all grew up wanting to believe that it was just an unfortunate result of an American who went to Russia, who was apparently brainwashed and came back and was on his own, decided to shoot the president. And the more evidence is coming out about how involved he was with the Russian Communist Party, and he was effectively an agent over here. And now it's coming out that when they captured him and he was in the Dallas County Jail, he was saying he was a patsy. And that supports the theory that there were actually other shooters and they let him hang out to dry. Just a very unfortunate thing, but for me, it brings up a lot of those memories, because I was with my mother right after, so she picked me up right at school. I think we all remember where we were when we heard the news, and I remember my mom crying and trying to explain to me what was going on, and I did comprehend it, but of course not the full set of consequences that attach to it.
Well, I think,
and then to have a daughter born
on that date,
when she was a little girl, and everybody was so sad, it was hard to explain to Laura that, you know, a very unfortunate event took place on your birthday in 1963. And we chatted about that a little bit this morning, Pat.
Well, I think anyone who's probably 60 years or older, and I said this before, remembers where they were that day, just as everyone remembers where they were when they heard about 9/11. So people
yes.
remember what they were doing, who were they with, and the whole thing.
The whole
about
day.
The reaction of what happened when President Kennedy was assassinated. And as I said, the younger generation who were, you know, probably 4 or 5 years old or older, remember what happened on 9/11.
Yes, yes.
And but what is amazing is what percentage of the population in our country, that's President Kennedy's assassination was history because they were not alive. Think about
that's
it.
That's a very
unless
good point. Yes.
If you're under 60 years old, you know, you wouldn't have any real recollection of
that's
what
right.
that is. So I guess it's aging us. So in any event, I told a little story about Lombardi and how Kennedy got Paul Hornung back to a very critical Green Bay Packer game. So
yes.
what's happening now with, you know,
this week's slate of games?
This week's slate of games.
Well, I can lead with probably the most attractive game, which is the Green Bay San Francisco game.
Yep.
And the only, in my opinion, Pat, the only way Green Bay can win that game is if they can run the ball effectively, because the 49er defensive line is so strong, so fast, so athletic that Rodgers will be, he's always running, but he'll be running for his life. And in order to have any chance to mount a sustained attack, they're going to have to run it, because if it's third and long, they're going to be bringing everybody. And he's going to take a couple big hits, and that's just not going to be a good thing for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, my concern is maybe in a game like this, you can't be so conservative and try to run the first two plays, because you have to keep them, you know, off guard a little bit.
Absolutely.
And what the Packers so often do is that first play is an attempted run. Second is again, second down is again attempted run. And then, unless they can just shove it across and the third down, then they go and try to have a long pass, or at least enough to get across and get another first down.
Well, I think that play action is going to be a big key, particularly if they can run the ball with some degree of success early. Then you set the defense up where they can't put 8 men in the box. They don't know if you're going to run or throw, and play action is at its best when the defense doesn't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So I think the favorite in the game in Vegas is the 49ers, but not by much. I think it's a 3-point game. But I think just from a strategic point of view, the other advantage the Packers have to trying to play ball control is the fact that the defense is playing well, and the 49er offense is not in sync right now, because I think their top receiver and running back and tight end are all out this week. So that is going to put Garoppolo in a tough position to be able to move the ball against a stiff Packer defense.
Yeah, but the Packer defense has not been that stiff. I think that they've pulled out some games, and they were lucky to pull out some games. I don't think that they can rely on luck for this game. I mean, they really have to bring their best play. There's no question in mind that they have
to. They have to play a mistake-free game.
Yeah.
They have to run the ball, A, to keep that clock moving, and B, to keep the defensive line of the 49ers in a guessing game. And what you're hoping is that Rodgers will take 4 or 5 shots down the field, maybe hits on 2 of them, and you get a couple of scores there.
So how do you think, you know, obviously they're going to try to sack Rodgers, and
you know, I think they're going to try to punish Rodgers.
Well, I grant you, they're going to really, when I say sack, I mean, they're really going to try to sack him and hit him hard enough that he...
By the second half, he's going to be in trouble. But if you think about it, Pat, if you are the Packers, you may have had a blueprint created by the Seahawks win because you have a mobile quarterback in Wilson who just beat the 49ers.
Right.
Rodgers is every bit as good as Wilson, probably better. And so one would think that they would try to take a page out of the Seattle Seahawks book this week and you know, looking for a way to squeeze a win out here.
Well, I agree, except that, you know, San Francisco is going to be looking out for that, and they've now been able to take a look at that game, see what they did wrong, and prepare for it. That's my concern about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, my guess is that rather than try to go up the middle, they will try to rush Rodgers from the flanks to prevent the rollout. Of course, it's less effective because you have a longer distance to go. You have the hypotenuse on that triangle, and it gives Rodgers maybe 2.8 seconds as opposed to 2.2 seconds, and that 0.6 of a second or thereabouts is going to make a big difference because Aaron Rodgers can shred you if you give him 3 seconds.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and if he can get down and have a long throw into the red zone, you know, that's where, you know, there he's masterful at doing that if, in fact, he has enough time and if he has someone who's fast enough to get down there because I've just been amazed. And not only the Packers, there have been some of the other teams that have, you know, taken that out of the Packer book and using it. And, you know, when you see those long throws, obviously that makes football even more fun.
Nothing's more exciting than the ball in flight. And as you know, my two favorite images are a football in flight and a tennis ball in flight. That's just something, the geometry of it.
But the difference is
so beautiful.
The difference is in football, you want the receiver to catch the ball.
In tennis, I'm trying to hit it away from my opponent.
You want the opponent not to be able to get near that ball and to watch it go right by thinking, oh my.
Yeah, a passing shot is beautiful in and of itself, but I think what I was referring to, when you see the flight of the football and that slight wiggle on it and a beautiful spiral that's coming down into the receiver's hands when it's thrown by, well, you have a couple of quarterbacks in the league that really throw that high-quality pass. You certainly have one of them in Green Bay. But it's geometrically a beautiful sight, and they have such great camera work now in the end zones where you can see the ball coming down because Rodgers gets a lot of height on his ball.
Right.
And Brady tends to throw more laser-type throws. A real straight throw, and he throws shorter because he doesn't have the receivers to go deep anymore. The Packers have better receivers who can usually get deep. The tennis ball, when you hit it with a great deal of topspin, as it goes over the net, if you hit it correctly, it looks like an egg to your opponent because the topspin is flying that ball forward so fast that the image of the ball begins to disappear, especially with a pair of eyes like mine. And I can barely see the ball these days. But so it was just something that came to mind, you know, just my editorial comment about the configuration of the ball. But having said that, I, as you know, I'll go to my grave just, you know, screaming about that Hail Mary pass that Rodgers, so you know exactly where I'm going, in the playoff game against the Giants 3 years ago, threw the ball almost straight up in the air. And it came down straight in the back of the end zone over 6 Giant defensive backs who were jumping and flailing about. And Rodgers was able to throw this ball 60 yards in the air, yep, inches over the extended fingertips of these defensive backs right into the hands of his receiver, who timed his jump perfectly. It was as much as I almost fainted when I saw that play, because, as you know, up to that point, the Giants were in control of that first half.
Yep.
And the look on Rodgers' face, that something-eating grin that he had, was just an incredible athletic throw that he made.
And, you know, he doesn't do that often, but every once in a while you'll see that little smile. It's not even a grin. It's just that little
smile. Oh, yeah,
smile.
It's that wry smile that makes the opponents just, you know, want to twist the knife even if you ever have a chance. It's a nasty grin, Pat. Come on.
Well, you know, the other thing that I love to see in these replays, because you generally, you know, I don't see it the first time, but when you see the receivers who are, it's like a ballet move. They somehow can stretch their body out that they keep both feet in when they're really catching the ball and it's thrown, you know, outside. I mean, if they were standing under the ball, they wouldn't be able to catch it. It wouldn't be in bounds. But if you look at some of these guys, and they must practice that, and frankly, it almost looks like they've been taking ballet lessons, that they're able to get up there. I mean, these are 200-pound guys.
About 200. Some of them are 220,
yeah.
225.
Right.
And the body control is remarkable.
Oh, it's unbelievable that they can keep their balance and get those two toes down. I mean, they're on their toes. There's no question about it. They are not standing flat-footed. They are on their toes. They're stretched out.
Toes. They're on the balls of the feet. Did you see the Dallas receiver, Cooper, catch that touchdown? He was literally at a 45-degree angle to the ground. The ball was 3 yards outside the side back on the end zone and uncatchable to anybody else in the world except that one receiver. It was a brilliant throw by Dak Prescott.
Yeah, it was.
Boy, that sounds like an oxymoron, but it was a brilliant throw.
It was a brilliant throw, but it was Amari Cooper. It was, you're right, it was a brilliant catch that not many people, I don't know of many receivers that would have been able to catch that ball. So you have to give them credit when they can do it. You have to give any team credit, just like the Packers. I mean, that Hail Mary that Rodgers threw was just amazing. Now, of course, I remember when Brett Favre would throw a lot of that stuff into too much traffic. And then, unfortunately, I also remember a certain game where the Giants and your team won, because Brett Favre threw an interception in overtime and at the playoff game in Green Bay. So, you know, somehow Rodgers, he's so much better at not throwing interceptions. And that's a big thing with all of the quarterbacks.
Yes, and an interception just, as you know, at any turnover just, you know, turns the game around. And the mark of that great team is the ability to rebound. As you know, I make allusions to the game of life all the time, and you know I parallel sports with life. I think sports mirrors life, and as we know, and during the course of everyday living, you're going to run into significant problems, and the ability to turn it around and make it successful will determine whether you're going to win or lose. And in football, you throw an interception. The one thing that Favre was, and Rodgers too, and Brady, notorious for, was the ability to rebound after a bad play.
Yeah.
And psychologically, that's tough to do in life when anything bad happens. But on the football field, that arena, that setting, makes it even more difficult, because obviously you're in a fishbowl there and everybody's watching, and you have to come up with something to turn it around and make it work. And, you know, I would say at this point in time, Pat, Rogers is probably the best at doing that.
And you know what he does? And he consistently, if you watch, if somebody drops the football, he will, not always, but
go back
more
to
often
them.
Than not, go back to that player to give them the confidence so that they're not standing there thinking, oh, my God. So he does it time after time, more so than Favre did. Favre did it the same to some extent. But Rodgers is so good at making sure that his team knows that he has confidence in them. And now we better play a couple spots from our sponsors.
Absolutely, Pat.
Because there's going to be no confidence in us.
We will be right back.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Okay, we're back.
We are back.
More commercials, and we're talking sports. And of course,
there you go.
I agree, John, that I think the real game to watch on Sunday, of course, I always think the game to watch.
I was just going to say, everybody's going to think this is part of the Green Bay Packers radio network.
Well, actually, if I'd thought about it, I would have contacted the Packers to see if I could get an interview when they play the Giants. Maybe I'll still do that.
Hey, you could always try that and see what happens.
Giant buddy, meaning you, is deciding to do some dumb thing rather than go to the game. But in any event, so what other games? What are you thinking about? We know that, of course, the Eagles are also playing next Sunday.
Well, that is a big game for them, playing Seattle. And I heard...
Is that this week? Or
that is this weekend. Yeah. And I in Philadelphia, and I've heard that... I didn't know this. The Eagles have not beaten Seattle, an NFC opponent, at home since 1989.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, at that time, I believe Seattle was in the AFC West in 1989.
I think you're right.
And they are looking to break that streak. I think it's 4 or 5 games, which, you know, in football is a lot. That's a lot.
Well,
so,
especially since they're not. Yeah, it is.
They only play once every...
How many years?
Couple of years. Yeah, well, they're in the same conference. They probably play every 3 years. When you're out of conference, I think it's 4 years. But in any event, you know, there's big heat in Philly about Wentz and the fact that he is not having a great year, not making those around him play better. And that is really the sign. And, you know, that, I think, is what distinguishes, you know, your Brady's, Manning, Rodgers, too. They actually make the players around them play better.
No, I agree. But also, I said from the very beginning with Wentz, you know, I think there is something to be said to keep these young quarterbacks not playing when they first start. I mean, I just think that they start too many of these guys too quickly. Now, when did Brady take over? Do you recall?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Brady did not play until Bledsoe was injured against the New York Jets.
No, I know.
At the end of the season.
But he and then at least most of one season, right?
Well, it was that season. It was so it would have been probably around week 12, week 13, and he played a couple of weeks, and then Bledsoe was ready to come back, and Belichick made, you know, what's now, in retrospect, is one of the great all-time personnel decisions, and decided to let Brady continue to play.
Right, that I know.
And that was an amazing decision, because Bledsoe had been playing at near all-pro status. Here you had this rookie, and he said he saw something, and that's the brilliance of Bill Belichick. Hate him as most do. The guy is brilliant.
And you're right. So Brady, but he didn't go in the first game or the second game. At least he had some time to watch the team, you know, analyze. Now, granted, not as long as Rodgers. And I know that the Packers were worried about losing Rodgers if, you know, they didn't replace Favre. And that was probably rather unique, because how many teams take what is going to become a franchise quarterback when they have a franchise quarterback? Remember, a lot of people didn't understand why the Packers even drafted Rodgers, and they wouldn't have if he hadn't had to sit there for so long. Remember, that was an embarrassing draft for Rodgers.
Well, I think he was picked 17th.
I thought it was 26. But 17th,
it might have been 26. Yeah, you're right. It was 26th.
But whatever it was, it was much farther.
He is very much like, what's his name, Rosen, who last year was the sixth of the six quarterback picks. And I don't even think he was taken in the first round by the Cardinals. I think he was taken in the top of the second round. But in any event, in retrospect, it looks like the football gods know what they were talking about, because he's now been, you know, relegated to a backup role in Miami. How good can he be?
Right.
And then they with the first pick this year, they took another quarterback.
Right. But what was happening at the time in Green Bay is Green Bay was known to take the next best player. In other words, they didn't just try to find somebody to fill a slot. If there was somebody that they thought was exceptional, that's who they would take. And that's why everybody assumes that Rodgers was selected by the Packers. They certainly didn't need a quarterback. And, of course, Favre was, you know, like iron. I mean, he never missed a game.
Yep. And they had a very cordial relationship, because Rodgers wanted to play. Favre wouldn't let him take any first-string snaps. And it for 4 years, it was well known that was a contentious, borderline contentious relationship. Having said that, you know what another famous contentious relationship was between a starter and a backup?
No, which one?
I'll give you a hint. It was in San Francisco. They say Joe Montana and Steve Young didn't even speak.
Wow.
Because near the end, Steve Young believed, and of course I'm no big Steve Young fan, he had one or two good years. I can't believe he's in the Hall of Fame. I just don't see it. But he believed that he was better toward the last 2 years, and he was being forced to sit on the bench. In fact, the genius, Bill Walsh, had Montana playing because he wanted to go with the experience and somebody who was admittedly at the end but knew how to win. And then what happened? They let him go, and Montana went to Buffalo and took him to the Super Bowl.
Well, I saw Montana play a few times. I mean, he really was.
I saw Montana play against the Giants in 1986 in the Meadowlands when the Giants beat them 49-7. And that was the year the Giants put out all those quarterbacks, and they took Montana out of the game, put him out in the third quarter. Jim Burt came up the middle. I was at that game. It was bitter cold. It was under 20 degrees. And it was a daytime game, not even at night.
Under 20 degrees, that would have been
a warm day in Green Bay, for sure.
Green Bay, I mean, come on, 20 degrees and not raining? Although I have to say, you can't just take a look at the temperature. You really need to. I mean, San Francisco, obviously they don't have the same problems in the new stadium that they had in they played Candlestick, right?
They played their games in Candlestick,
which was baseball, and
it was the worst baseball stadium in the majors and the worst football stadium in the NFL.
And what
horrible grounds and bad swirling winds! It was cold there in July.
It was always cold.
Always damp. They say it never should have been built there.
Well,
horrible sight.
Other thing that I remember is because of the tiers, it was so loud that people above would just stamp on
right
stamp
and that structure gave where they say you could actually see the stands moving up and down, the weight of the spectators.
It was just unbelievably loud, and not just the cheering loud that you hear from some stadiums. The other stadium that I thought I really didn't like was in Arizona. Now, obviously, it was indoor, but the same thing. It was so loud.
Well, Arizona treats Giants fans very well. They won a Super Bowl there and beat the Patriots. That has fond memories for Giant fans and Eli Manning.
Okay, so what else is happening? How about, since Bill isn't here, what's happening in hockey?
Well, in hockey, the Flyers are doing well, and unfortunately, my New Jersey Devils are not. They continue to be the last or second worst team in the league. They just can't play defense. They finally have some good young forwards. The goalie is decent, but they have terrible defensemen. And, you know, they've been ahead in most of their games in the third period and lost. Some of those games, they were three goals up in the third period and took a loss. Yeah, it's just horrible.
But and that in hockey is almost unheard of.
It's a cardinal sin. And I, of course, had season tickets for 25 years during the Brodeur years with Stevens and Niedermeyer and all the great defensemen they had. That, you know, if most of those games we'd walk into the stadium figuring, well, there's a chance Marty's going to shut them out, or maybe they get one goal. And for years, that's the way it was. And they just played very stingy in their own end. And they specialized in turning people over in the neutral zone and getting two-on-one, three-on-two breaks. And they had enough sharpshooters to bury one. And they won, you know, a 2-1, 3-2 game. And they parlayed that into three Stanley Cups. So fond memories of the Devils. And very, very sad to see them play such poor defense right now, because their tradition was hard work and defense, and they need to get back into that area. The good news is that their forwards are young, so if, and that takes another draft or two to pick up a couple of good defensemen, you know, in 2 years they could be a contender again, because they've got very young forwards who are good. They've got two overall number one picks at center. And I think they're going to be okay, Pat, but it's probably going to be another year or two.
And how about fan loyalty? I mean,
base is actually staying strong. They're drawing fairly well. And for a team that's playing poorly, the fans have been very much in support.
Well, that's good, because I've never thought that East Coast fans for anything were, you know, the diehard loyalists that you find in, you know, Bear fans, Packer fans, and probably, you know, to my chagrin, even Minnesota fans. You know, Packer fans are there, you know, the good times and the bad. That's why when recently there had been some boos at Lambeau, that was really surprising.
I thought that was just visiting fans who were, you know, trying to make the Packer fans look bad, you know?
Could be.
But at this point, so that's hockey. The other...
We're going to be cut off.
We're going to be cut off momentarily, but we need to at least add in about
the
baseball.
Prison since his arrest and removal
we got
from
cut
the
off.
In April.
Have a great week, everyone.
Denied the rape accusations. You don't have to wait for the top of the hour. You can listen to the news anytime by logging on to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The traffic stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by